Okay, so continuing with our obligation of removing chametz from our, you know, our homes on Pesach, I want to talk about what we call taruvas chametz, meaning we have actual chametz where, you know, the grain comes together with water, stays together for 18 minutes, and becomes chametz. Bread is actual chametz. Pretzels is actual chametz. But then you have things like, just for an example, ketchup, right? What's chametz about ketchup, right? It's tomatoes and whatever. But the answer is that we have within the ingredients that's added in the ketchup, there is a chametz ingredient that is mixed in. And depending on the ratio of the permissible food and the chametz that you have in this mixture, sometimes the chametz ingredient will be what's called batel, become nullified and considered like it's not there. And then sometimes you won't. Sometimes ratio is not large enough, or for whatever reason, that's not batel, that's not nullified. And that's called taruvas chametz, a mixture of chametz. A mixture of chametz, when eating something that has chametz mixed into it, or something that's straight chametz, is the same prohibition. Both of them are forbidden. The thing is that when we talk about something that is a mixture of chametz, so then already it becomes a little bit more, it actually is very relevant to many, many products that we have to deal with. And one of the rules that we have to bear in mind is the following, that sometimes we can have a situation where the amount of chametz that's mixed in is not butl, is not nullified. However, it's not fit for human consumption. Whatever chametz is in there, it's not fit for human consumption. We call that it's not fit for human consumption. And something that's not fit for human consumption is something that you still may not eat it on Pesach. However, you may derive benefit from it, right? We've spoken about the fact that when it comes to chametz is a prohibition to eat, it's a prohibition to possess, it's a prohibition to have benefit from. But if you're talking about a situation where the chametz that's mixed in, again, it's not sitting there out on its own, but it's mixed into something, and it's not fit for human consumption, in that situation, halachis may not eat it, but you may derive benefit from it. Now, this becomes very relevant to not so much foods, but products that we have, where you have chametz mixed into a product, where the chametz that's in there is something that is not edible. So, for instance, if you talk about your shampoo, your lotions, many of the things that we have, the chametz that's in there is, number one, not the main ingredient, and number two, it's not edible, and therefore you may benefit from it. So halachically speaking, there shouldn't be an issue with things like shampoos and lotions when it comes to Pesach, because of the fact that whatever chametz is in there, even if it's not batel, is something that is not edible. If it's not edible, you're not ingesting it, right? You're not drinking your shampoo, but at the end, you're allowed to derive benefit from it, so there should be no problem. And Mr. Shem, when the Pesach supplement comes out, you know, we'll have a list of all the different things, all the different products that you don't necessarily have to be. You don't have to be concerned. I'll put it this way: halachically, you don't have to be concerned with the fact that there may be chametz in them, because again, they're not edible. At the same time, so you're probably wondering, then why do we have the Star K guide and that has all the lists of all the different products that there are, where they have chametz in them or not, or you know, many different digests and Pesach directories that come out listing loads and loads of all the different products that we have and medicines and things like that. Why are they doing this all? You know, it would seem that halachically there should be no problem. Let's just stick with the shampoos, the lotions, you know, just sticking with those kinds of things. That it would seem that the chametz in them isn't edible. Why are they a problem? So the answer is that on one level, again, sticking to things like shampoos, lotions. We're not talking about sprays right now, because sprays is a whole different kind of different situation. But when it's like in a very liquid form, it's a little bit different. But basically, there have been many communities for many, many years that if anything contains chametz, no matter what, they did not use it on Pesach. That was a custom. That was part of the stringencies of Pesach. Part of the stringency of Pesach was that if something went ahead and it had chametz, they did not use it. So the Star K, which again has this whole medicine, you know, has a whole list of all different products lists that they have, shampoos and soaps and everything like that. The reason that they have this whole list is because they actually, they have a whole, if you go on the Star K website, they have a whole article showing how these directories already existed 200 years ago in certain German communities. They had these directories, like, this you don't use on Pesach. And it was all these kinds of things that fit into the same category of shampoos and soaps. Their custom was that if it possessed chametz, they did not have it in their house on Pesach. They put it away, they sold it to the guy, they didn't use it. That was the custom. That was part of what we call chumrat de Pesach. We know when it comes to the laws of Pesach because of the fact that, you know, eating chametz carries a prohibition of karas, a premature death. There's a prohibition of owning chametz, and we're so used to having chametz that we know clearly in halacha and that there is many stringencies that we don't keep all year round that we do keep for Pesach. And anybody who has a personal stringency as part of their family custom, that's something that's very holy and should be kept. So there were definitely were communities that anything that possessed chametz, no matter what, they didn't keep it, they didn't have it. So you have the Star K directory, Rabbi Gershon Vest from Los Angeles, he's together with the Star K in this directory. I think I read an article that his reason to getting into this whole thing of finding out about everything was because he said, you know, that he remembers by his grandmother, right? Anything that had chametz just wasn't there, nothing was there. Now again, you can't say that this was everybody's custom because you could see many, many communities where they come straight out. For instance, the Chicago Medical Council has their general guidelines for medicines follow something similar to this, that, you know, something that's not going to be edible. It's not for human consumption. It's something you can use on Pesach. So they don't have it. They say all soaps are okay. All shampoos are okay. You know, even the ones that say oat, right? You know, a lot of them, for some reason, they like talk about they have oat something in their shampoo or they oat something in their conditioner, right? So like, oh, oat, that's freaky, right? But you know, it's whatever oat stuff is in there, again, it's not a main ingredient, and it's not edible, and therefore, so again, it depends on your custom. Some people are going to be stringent with it. Some people aren't going to be stringent with it. But again, when we're talking about from the point of the letter of the law, talking about the halacha itself, the halacha would be that something that, again, that's not for human consumption and it's mixed into the chametz is something you may not eat, but you may derive benefit. And therefore, shampoos, lotions, soaps are something that, things that would not be a problem. But again, there are many people who are strict about this. And, you know, just an interesting thing. This Shabbos, you know, we're spending Shabbos, you know, by the Ufruf, and, you know, so I was talking to one of my sister-in-law's brothers sitting next to me, and he was mentioning how he decided this year, okay, that he's buying a Pesach oven. Meaning, for him, it seems to be no big deal, right, to take out his oven from his house, take it to his garage, and reconnect another one. It's like, yeah, what's the big deal? You know, this is the kind of guy he is. And he said that his father-in-law in Cleveland has been doing it for years. He knows exactly what to do. He takes out the oven, puts it in the garage. He's getting himself a new oven, and he's just going to connect it. No big deal. He has no problem doing it. Why is he doing it? Because again, you know, as years goes on, he cleans his oven. He can't get it completely clean, and this and that. He took apart something in his oven, and he saw everything that was in there. You know, again, and so we're talking about it. All the issues that he had are not issues to say that. There is that he has a halachic chametz concern, okay? I'm not going to call it a halachic chametz concern, which he agrees. But again, you know, there are people who have, their custom has always been to be very, very careful. Everybody has their you know, again, years back, you know, I shouldn't say years back. There are people who are very, very stringent about anything that's coming near chametz. Or anything that has a connection to chametz. So chametz is there. The chametz is there. You can't get it off anymore. It doesn't even come off. Which means it's not even anything. If you can't clean it off anymore, it's not anything. But again, this is part of the of the stringency of Pesach that the Jewish people have always had, and everybody does what they feel is what they feel they want to do and need to do. Again, it's important for us to know what it is that we're obligated to do, what the obligations are. But again, there's always been a common practice on Pesach to be very careful and to be strict with getting near any kind of chametz. Okay, now things get a little bit more complicated when something goes into your mouth. So, for instance, toothpaste, mouthwash, lipstick, right? All these things land up in your mouth. Now, you know, nobody goes chomping on toothpaste. Not because of it. That's number one. Number two, the chametz that's in your toothpaste is also probably not edible. But once something's going in your mouth, which again we said, these kinds of things are things that you're not allowed to eat. Once things are going in your mouth, it is a much more common practice to be stringent with it. And therefore, people, when it comes to toothpaste, right? People will check out the toothpaste, and that's where these Passover guides come in very helpful. They will tell you Crest, Colgate, AIM, whatever it is. You know, probably by me, I get confused because sometimes, like, you know, they start getting into specific brands, and like, you know, like first they say, it's just an example, right? This is not exactly Colgate all, right? Sounds like all Colgates, right? Then all of a sudden they list all the Colgates after that. Like, why are you listing all the Colgates after that? You just said all. Sometimes it just gets, sometimes I just get a little bit confused. But again, you know, and then you have certain with even within a certain brand, some are okay and some are not okay. Some have certain ingredients, some don't have, there are certain ones that they say, this one is whatever. When I was a kid, right, Pesach toothpaste, there was one brand that was in our house. It was called Adwe, A-D-W-E, Adwe toothpaste. It's still around. It was the kosher LePesach toothpaste. That's what it was. I'm sure it's much better now than it used to be, but
Adwe is a Jewish company.
And they have all year round products too. You know, it's a Jewish kosher company. All their products are kosher. And there was years Pesach all we used was Adwe toothpaste, and then the guide started coming out and AIM was kosher with Pesach. And Colgate was kosher LePesach, and all the regular ones you could always find amongst them that were kosher LePesach. But the reason, when it comes to the mouthwash, all these kinds of things, you have certain mouthwashes that they advertise, all of them are good. I think Listerine, I'm not sure exactly. Some of them are all good, and some, Scope, usually every year it comes out, all Scopes are good. But again, the reason why there we're being more stringent is because it's something it's something that goes in our mouth. Lipstick, right? It goes, again, lands up in your mouth, and therefore it's something that we're more stringent with. Now, no one's going to be eating a kazayis of this kind of stuff, but that's not the point either, right? Once it already is forbidden to eat, then any amount is forbidden. Now, again, how many people, you could say, I don't swallow my mouthwash, and I don't swallow my toothpaste, and I don't swallow my lipstick, and I don't know, and all that kind of stuff. But again, it's not the point. Once it's going in your mouth, therefore, the general accepted custom has been that we make sure it's chametz free. Now, if you're talking about things that go into your mouth, let me just go one more thing. If you're talking about things going into your mouth, then we start talking about medicines, right? The medicines become a little bit more complicated. Medicines should therefore be more complicated. You're swallowing it, right? Now, again, you're not chewing on it necessarily. We know we have different things. If you're talking about a chewable, a liquid that's really edible, right, then you're dealing with chametz, possibly, And they're talking about, say, it's edible, and it's a food, and maybe a medicine too, but it's a food, it's edible. But then what do you do with the other pills, right? Pills that all you do is swallow. All you do is swallow. So again, the fact you're ingesting it, according to some have a practice that they will be, even when it comes to swallowing pills that, tablets and things that we swallow that are really unedible, inedible, is something that people will be strict about. And then you have those who aren't strict about it because the fact that it's already in a pill form, a tablet or a pill, really means that, my understanding is, it really means that whatever is in there has really been basically turned into a powder. It's not like I have the ingredient in there, but it's inedible. It's like it's completely changed into something else. completely changed to something else. And therefore, they will say, even though you're ingesting it, you're not ingesting chametz anymore. It's not even the chametz anymore. It's already in a pill form. So again, you have those that are more astringent with it, and you have people who are not astringent with it. Again, it really depends on what your custom is, what your practice is. You know, in our Pesach supplement, you know, I basically, you know, I follow that, you know, things that, the tablets that you swallow are all okay. But again, if people have a custom to be stringent with it, then there are many of the guides out there that make things available. Now, at the same time, if you're talking about vitamins, right? Talking about vitamins, vitamins are a little bit different. Vitamins in different makeup, it's a whole different kind of thing. So again, if it's a vitamin that you need to have, you know, doctor recommended, doctor says you have to have it, then you have to, a lot of times the problems with the vitamins isn't so much chametz, it's kidneys. That's going to be the problem. So again, you can do without it for a week, best to do without it. You can't do without it, then already you ask a shiloh just to make sure, because at the same time, kidneys is something that we do not eat, but you could have benefit from it. Okay? And therefore, for instance, many of the so kidneys is for someone who is a chayla, for someone who's sick, kidneys is okay. For someone that's not considered halakhically a chayla sick, kidneys is not okay. So you know, with the vitamins, which I think many times is a kidneys problem, you have to ask a shayla exactly, you know, if you really need it, whether you can take it, and if you don't need it, you should put it away.
Didn't you say the pills were not a problem?
Yeah, because I don't think vitamins, I think the issue with the vitamins are that vitamins, either because of the fact that, number one, vitamins, you have to know, it's not a medication, that's number one, it could be just be, you know, for supplement, and I could be wrong about this, you know, but I'm not sure if in the makeup of a vitamin, you know, how things are, you know, processed.
So I would assume that a pill would be pill, whether it's a vitamin or another kind of pill that you swallow, is it that the pills are only allowed because you need the medication? If you don't need the medication,
well, if you would be, according to some, the reasons the pill would be okay is because it would be okay because for a chayla it would be okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that would mean that if I only have a little headache, right, I couldn't take it.
Okay, so the vitamin.
But wait a minute. But point is, but we do. But again, for many people, right, when it comes to taking Tylenol and stuff like that, right, let's assume, you know, Tylenol, I think, is actually not a problem anyway. It's on the list that it's not a problem. But if you were to have a tablet kind of medicine, right, and you're not strict with it, the point would be that even if I just have a little headache, I could take it. It's because it's not anything anymore. Right, and with the vitamins, I'm just not sure if it's the same kind of thing, you know, what a vitamin is, what its makeup is, and we don't chew on it. But again, I don't know exactly if the point there is the way it's made up. It's not the same thing as a pill or a tablet like an aspirin.
The person would be, let's say, they have very low iron.
Good. So then you have good
iron.
Good.
Vitamin.
So then, if the point that there, the point is they have a condition, and that would be something to consider that they could. I'm just saying that. And again, if it's kidneys, then it makes it easier. If it's real chametz, then you have a different kind of question. But if it's kidneys, it becomes much kidneys you can take if you're sick. So your question is a good question. But I believe again, either because, you know, you can make that condition, that difference about, you know, allowing it for a chayla, for someone who's sick. And maybe, again, maybe the difference between a vitamin, which is just a supplement, and even someone who has a michush, just has like a little headache and not necessarily sick. Maybe that's the difference, or again, maybe the difference is just with the way that a vitamin is made up. I'm not sure. Okay. That's how things kind of, so these are just, again, kind of a general guideline about how things break down when it comes to, you know, what we possess that contains chametz. When it comes to the shampoos and the soaps and the medications, these are some of the guidelines that we have to keep in mind, to understand, you know, what the issues are about what's going on. Now, again, we mentioned already before about kidneys, Ashkenazic. People who follow Ashkenazic tradition don't eat kidneys. What's kidneys? We call them legumes, okay? What exactly falls under what's called a legume? You know, lots of discussion exactly what that is. You know, again, there are the Star K, has a list of what we consider kidneyous, you know, is quinoa kidneyous, you know, and some people will say, yeah, we should consider it kidneyous, and some people will say, no, quinoa is something that, again, you know, first of all, it's kind of a newish kind of thing, and whatever other reasons they say, of if the quinoa is not kidneyous, so again, you know, it's something that it's really, you know, really up to you how you want to deal with it, you know. It's really up to you. The Star K holds quinoa is not kidneyous, however they explain it. One of the things to understand again about kidneyous is that kidneyous is something that we do not eat, but we are permitted to have benefit from. If you have a baby, right, whose baby formula is kidneyous, a baby is considered a chayla. A baby is considered, in halacha, is considered someone that's ill and weak. Kidneyous is allowed to be consumed by someone who's a chayla. If you have people who need insure, right, people who typically need that would fall under the category of a chayla, in the sense of this is what they need for their nutrition, and therefore it's permissible for them to use. So there are times where we will be feeding people kidneyous, but when we do so, we have to be careful that whatever we're using to prepare the kidneyous is separate away from everything else. We don't use our Pesach utensils for the kidneyous. We try to wash it in a separate area. So when you're making the baby formula that's kidneyous on Pesach, you wash it, you know, somewhere else, away from everything else. You have special bottles for it. We don't mix it together with our chametz, even in the situation where it is that we may be even consuming it. Now, at the same time, you have to also be careful to know, rice is kidneyous, right? Rice is kidneyous. Problem is the way that rice is processed, it could actually be chametz. Because if it's enriched, it could actually be chametz. So, you know, even the people who go ahead and eat kidneyous, you know, a lot of the hashkachas, right, they have their kidneyous hashkachas to make sure to tell you that this is kidneyous, okay, and there's no other problems mixed into it. Okay, so that is, a general discussion about these things about possessing and using these products with chametz. I'd like to now just quickly go through certain parts of preparing the house or the kitchen for Pesach. I'm not going into kashering. I'm not going to talk about pouring water on the sink and kashering your oven. I'm not going into that right now. I want to kind of deal with some of the we'll call it the simpler things. So your countertops, okay? As much as we've been talking about how there, you know, when it comes to crumbs, that you don't have to know that there may be no obligation to have to really remove them, but we try to remove them. It's customary to remove them. Anywhere that there's an issue of eating, there you have to be very, very careful that there should be nothing there. Because you're not allowed to consume even a crumb of chametz. Even if you're a mavatl, you nullified it. It's not yours. You sold it to the guy, right? At the end of the day, you can't eat it. So it's forbidden to eat. And because of the fact that chametz is something that all year round we're so used to consuming and having, the sages said no matter what amount it is, if it, on Pesach it doesn't become nullified, no matter in how much you could have a million times more of the permissible food than the chametz food, but if there is a piece of chametz there in your food that wasn't there, if it didn't get mixed in before Pesach, it's not considered nullified, it's forbidden to eat. So therefore, when you're talking about your countertops and places where you eat from and eat off of, places where are your table, you have to be very careful. Now again, you have to be very careful, but at the same time, it's not an impossible feat to have to deal with. Clearly, you know, when it comes to your countertops, you're going to clean them well, and you're going to cover them. You're going to cover them, right? You cover them to make sure that in case you missed anything, that it's covered. So what do you cover it with? People have different things they cover with. They cover with contact paper, cardboard, heavy-duty aluminum foil, double layer of aluminum foil. You know, there are ways of being able to put something, you know, you don't want to have something that's going to easily tear, but, you know, you clean it well and you cover it. Now, different people have different customs what they cover. You know, if anybody remembers, I'm not going to say names on the thing, but there was somebody who used to live here. I walked into his apartment in on Pesach, and I thought I was in a spaceship. I mean, everything was silver foil. Everything was silver foil. It was incredible. You know, everything was silver foil. Hey, I can tell you, I have relatives. I worked at a house. That there are people who, again, in their parents didn't cover everything like the way they do, and they cover it more for whatever reason, you know, their spouse, whatever it is. People have different customs exactly how far they're going to go, you know. Do you go ahead and cover all your walls? Do you do part of the wall covered up? Everybody has a different custom about that. But again, the point is that in case some crumbs got stuck on the wall and maybe they're going to, and maybe it can fall off on Pesach.
No. He's talking about regular walls, he's talking about the counters.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking really about
the counters. Anything near where the food is handled. I'm not talking about your ceiling. I'm not talking about, but this guy really had everything covered with aluminum foil. It was incredible. And then again, it was near things. It's not like it was, he was just, you know, covering up his ceiling with stuff. By the way, there are people who used to, it's brought down halacha, people used to repaint their kitchens every Pesach. Now, don't forget that kitchens were probably smaller in those days, and but there were people who would scrape their walls, people who would repaint the walls on Pesach. People did these things, and it was all part again about because of the fact that we have to be so careful on Pesach. But again, these are all customs. There are people who have customs. You know, again, there are people who have customs that there are certain things they won't eat on Pesach. They won't eat on Pesach. I think there's why. Because in their parents' house, their grandparents' house, we didn't eat this on Pesach. Why didn't we eat it on Pesach? Why? Because, you're right, 100 years ago, there was an issue with some of these things on Pesach. There were certain issues. We know someone who does not eat chicken on Pesach. The Yeksha family does not eat, they eat, there's no chicken on Pesach. Probably because at one point in time there was a problem with probably opening up the chickens on Pesach and finding kernels of grain inside their stomach, and you throw it into the soup or you throw it into something, you've got a problem. Okay, so they're cutting out. Nowadays we have that problem. No, but that was their family custom. That's their family custom, and you know, keeping up with customs is very important. You know, our Yiddishkeit is what it is because of the fact that we stay connected. That we stay connected as much as we can to our origins, okay. But again, there's different customs about these things. But you know, certain things you can say to yourself: should I, you know, right up to the counter? Then you have a little bit of the wall. Should I cover it? Should I not cover it? Everybody has their customs about it. But there's no question that the sense of the countertop where the food goes and the food is handled, right? The top of your stove, the top of your countertops. These are some things that the general custom is we can clean them very well, but we're still going to cover them because of the fact that we want to be extra careful because of the fact that we're handling food near them. Now, if you have a... So again, there are some people who have a custom that, let's say, when they pour the water in the kasha in the sink, they'll pour the water on the countertops and they'll cover it. They'll do both. And the reason they're covering a lot of the countertops is because some of the countertops are made of materials that you can't, that we don't customarily kosher. But, you know, but for Pesach, they will kosher it, and then they'll cover it. And if you're dealing with something like a granite counter, which is stone, and stone is kosherable, right? So there already, it's possible you could actually pour the water on it and kosher it. Before you assume that your granite countertop, you can kosher it, you should, you know, you should do a little bit more research to know, you know, some of those granite countertops are not just rock. You know, they have a sealant on top. They have a sealant on top, right? The sealant is something else. So again, I'm just saying that you have to, before, you know, you make an assumption, before, you should just be aware of what your granite countertop is. Again, according to many opinions, even with that sealant on top, you pour the water and it's fine. But people, again, have different customs about that. But again, typically our countertops, unless you're going to have a granite countertop and it's kosherable, you go in, you clean it off well, and you cover it over. Okay. The fridge. Okay. Nobody koshers their fridge. No one's pouring water on the walls of their fridge, as far as I know. Okay. So basically, the fridge is something that you go ahead and you clean it very well. You know, if you see crumbs in the vents, right, you do your best to get them. And once they're not reachable, right, you're not going to come out on Pesach, and therefore you don't have to be concerned with them. Some people will cover. Now again, You know, it's very hard sometimes to talk about these things, about how to prepare certain things for Pesach, is because our fridges and a lot of our utensils are upgraded and modernized, and a lot of the things that used to be a problem aren't a problem. So, for instance, in the good old fridges, is our fridge downstairs? No, that was the old one that we got rid of. If you have the good old, like, iron grates that used to be what you used to put the food on, okay? So there, the reason they were grates was for a reason.
Airflow,
right? Right. But people would sometimes, you know, cover them and wonder why their food was spoiling on Pesach. You know, that's the way it was. So therefore, a lot of people would, you know, they would actually put silver foil on all the grates and cut holes. You know, basically make sure there's going to be an airflow. And some people don't do it. Right? Some people don't do it. Now with the way they have them now, it's easier.
It's tempered glass.
What glass?
Therefore?
It doesn't have holes. You don't need it. It doesn't need to be used for the
You don't need the airflow.
No.
Right. So to go ahead and to put something on to cover that isn't going to be a problem. But again, you're not obligated to do that. You wash it, you clean it well, and it's kosher for Pesach.
I thought you said we had to cover anything where there was going to be food.
So again, it seems in the fridge, that wasn't something that, again, you're doing more your storage than your preparation in your fridge, right? And therefore, it was more like the custom became that you clean it and it's good. A lot of people, you know, I mean, I think in my house we always had it covered, you know,
Yeah, maybe depending on what you do, it's like, if generally you only put things in if they're in Tupperware or something like that.
Yeah, you typically don't have food directly on the fridge, right?
Like if you put a piece of cake there without anything under it, then you might have
a
problem.
Which typically you don't do. That's why the fridge has been different, because of the fact that, you know, it's always been in containers and stuff like that. Okay, you have a spill, you have this falls in, that falls in, but you're not doing the same kind of preparation with the food directly on it as other things. Okay, your cabinets. Right, where you store food, right?
Yeah.
Unless your kids are having food fights in your house, right? You know, I don't know how many people find, you know, a lot of chametz in their cabinets where their dishes are. But again, the dishes had food, right? Sometimes there's food stuck to the dish, right? So again, dishes that you're going to go ahead and put away for Pesach, you don't have to clean them. You don't want to put away dirty dishes, you know, but I'm just saying, you don't have to go ahead and, you don't have to scrape the dishes that your chametz dishes that you're putting away and selling the chametz that's on them, right? You don't have to sit there and, you know, scrape it off. You're not going to be using it. It's not an issue. And the cabinets that you're going to be using for Pesach, again, you clean them out well, right? In some ways, there would be no difference in the fridge. You clean them out well, you can use them. Again, there is a practice to line them. A lot of people will line the shelves anyway. They'll put on new lining paper. You know, so that's, you know, the yearly changeover for Pesach time. And again, it's part of the stringency of, you know, again, this was an area that had chametz on it, that had chametz dishes on it, and therefore, even after we clean it out, we're going to go ahead and line it. But again, the main thing is to go ahead and to clean it out well. Again, any cabinet that you're not going to be using for Pesach is basically just, you know, sealed off, you know, close it. Put something on it to say chametz, you know, because don't go, do not enter, and you're safe with that. Your table, again, since we don't, you know, again, we could talk about, you know, food go. People don't typically, you know, eat most of their food off the table. You know, you could put a snack on the table, you know, stuff like that. But again, now for the table though, the custom is again, a table. We'll clean it off well, but we're not going to use the table itself. There'll always be some kind of a lining on the table. You know, some people will put a heavy lining. Again, you know, it's very possible that what you could do is, you know, clean the surface, take a plastic tablecloth, tape it down, and then put your kosher Pesach covering on top of it, and that's enough. You know, as long as you're confident that nothing is going to tear and you're going to be going directly onto the table, then you're set. Some people are more strict with it. You know, some people have this whole big layer of a whole layer of newspapers under everything, under the cardboard and everything like that. But again, it's really sufficient for the table itself. Clean up the table, put a cover on it, and then put your Pesach tablecloth on it, and you're pretty much set. A high chair, right? A high chair. Lots of food going on the high chair, right? So therefore, you would, you know, again, you want to get a special Pesach covering of a special Pesach tray. That would be wonderful. Typically, what people are told to do is you clean it off well and you line it, right? You put some kind of a contact paper, something on it, not to go in and put.
I just ordered a new tray because it's like he'll just pull it off.
Okay, that's what it is. But I'm saying halakhically, it's enough to go in and cover it. And if you know, in such a situation, you know, let's say you put on a cover, and the baby tore it off, and the food touched the top of the tray. It's not a chametz stick. Not a chametz stick. Again, it's something that we do, and the way that we're going in and using it, we want to cover it because of the fact that, again, it was used for chametz, but again, it's enough to clean it, cover it, and if you have to recover it, you just recover it. You don't have to kashi your rings.
What?
You don't have to kashi your rings.
Rings,
yeah, one of your fingers that sometimes food gets onto it and stuff like that. You need not kasher it, but you know, but it's worthwhile to you know, check, make sure there's nothing stuck on it. In our house, we don't allow the laptop on the table on Pesach, right? Because all year round, there's lots of chametz around it, and even though it gets cleaned off and stuff like that, again, it's the kind of thing that it's not going to go on the table where we eat because of the fact that, again, you can work very hard on cleaning it and it's probably very clean. But again, that's where a lot of the little stuff goes. And it's something that you want to be careful with. There's a custom, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I think when it comes to Pesach, people have kosher Pesach towels, you know, hand towels and all the kind of towels we use in the kitchen. What?
Dish towels
and hand towels, whatever it may be. Different people have probably different customs about it. But theoretically, you can take your chametz stick of towels, put it through a good hot water wash and soap, and it's kosher Pesach. But customarily, though, you know, a lot of people have their, you know, will have special ones for Pesach. But again, really, it's enough to go ahead and just clean them well. Just clean them well. Do it with hot water and soap, and you should be okay. Bibs, right? Bibs for the kids. Theoretically, the same kind of thing. You just wash them well, and it's done. But again, you know, a lot of people will have what?
Does it depend on what kind of bib you're talking about? Like a bib that you can put through the washing machine versus like a plastic one? Can you just wipe it off and use it? Or you
I would think that I would probably I would say that you probably for the plastic ones, it's just a question of wiping off, right? Probably should get kosher Pesach ones, because again, if it's you can't put it through a washing machine, you'd have to really work hard on it. I'm not going to say it's not possible, but something like that, you would want to get a kosher Pesach one. Okay, so that's just like I say. I wanted to touch on those things without getting into the whole.
Going to the wash, I'm pulling the food out of the pocket.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah. She has a list.
Okay.
I'm making your lecture makes me so exhausted thinking about Pesach. It's ridiculous.
It's not the first.
I don't think that was his goal.
Cheryl, it's not the first. It's not the first time we've done through this.
Well, I know. No, I just it wears me out. Okay. A couple of things. You talked about this before. Roasts and things that are kosher are kosher Pesach year round. I'm not talking about ground meat.
So oh,
flesh.
So the rule is that basically. Raw poultry meat in its original packaging is kosher Pesach.
Okay.
Now, like, at the same time, I just might, you know, depending on what it's been, what that package has been hanging around near.
Right.
Just
no.
Make sure you deal with the pack. You know, again, you know, wipe off the packaging. Yeah. You know, just be a little careful with the packaging because there, you know, it could have been around. You know.
Right. No. As
things.
A matter of fact, in Stop and Shop, whatever they're carrying now for. Raw meat actually says OUP on it.
Yeah, a lot of they when Pesach right. time they will put on it an OUP. It could be a whole year round. It doesn't have OUP.
I don't know why.
Does it say it?
Chickens always does.
Does it say it on it?
But this particular package of red meats, it was stew beef or pepper steak or something. I know ground beef is an issue. I know that has to be kosher Pesach. But for years, I would get all new roasts and everything, and then at some point you gave a lecture, and I realized that half the stuff that was hanging in my freezer.
Yeah, if it's in its original packaging, you can use it. But again, I just think that, you know, knowing where it's been hanging around, you should be careful, you know.
That's fine. Now, the hot water pot, the urn that you use, the hot water pot, nothing goes in it but water. I'm not eating crumbs over it. Do I need to have a separate one for Pesach?
If you're comfortable with the fact that there's no chametz going near it, then you could.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going to tell you there isn't a common custom to have a separate one for Pesach.
I do have another one, but these things blow up all the time. So I just want to be prepared in the event of.
Yeah, so I'm saying I would tell you that you should use a kosher Pesach one if you can, but if you get stuck.
Okay, all right.
Because you have to understand this again also. It's something that's around food.
Yeah.
So something's around food. So therefore, you know, the bottom of it, you know, it's around food. And that means you have to, you know, it means you have to clean it well and make sure.
I have one, like I told Tova to get, that you plug it in, it's an electric hot pot, that I would like to use to be able to kosher out the sinks, but I really only use it to, like, to boil something up if I'm cleaning a chicken, for example.
Mm.
So I'll put it into another container after it's heated up to pour over the chicken, and I don't even use it to make coffee or anything. That's really what I use it for, so.
But again, something that's been around food is something that we typically...
Not have it
around.
All right, that's fine. The KVH, are they coming out with a list about the dairy things that we can use and stuff?
They didn't last year.
No fooling.
So basically...
I looked already last week. Nothing is marked yet. I'm not surprised, but...
It's, you know...
We wouldn't want to buy dairy stuff now for Pesach.
No.
The show's to know what's happening.
You, Tropicana orange juice already has a Pesach.
Of course. The big things have.
Breakstones doesn't hear, but I bet you the one at the butchery has Breakstones. Like, I was looking at the butter.
Eventually, okay, I put it this way. I mean, the closer you get to Pesach, the more you will find that there's going to have. I mean, I remember last year.
After April 1st, we'll probably...
That happened last year. But again, it's not the... I'm going to try to find out from the KVH if they have any more information. But,
and I wonder if they're delivering Coke this year to Stop and Shop. Last year was a mission, I guess. Maybe I'll find my little buddy and bug him.
I know the one in Lexington does.
I'm not going to Lexington to get Coke.
I had to go there for other reasons, so it's like...
There's actually a possibility we might not need Coke this year because the masses are not coming, so...
But I'm just saying some of them at least have it.
No. I'm sure in some of the Newton stores. I'm sure if you go to Star Market in Chestnut Hill, they probably have Coke also. Not yet, but they will.
Okay.
That's it for now.
Anything else?
I'm just wondering how carefully you have to be cleaning out toasters that aren't going to be used on Pesach. Because it's like you look inside and it's like you see crumbs everywhere. There's no cleaning it.
Putting it away.
Put it away.
Put it in a bag.
You got to shake it out a little bit. I don't know. But that's something you put away.
Yeah.
Put away the chametz things and whatever chametz is in there is going to be sold. You bottle it, you're going to sell it. You know, you don't have to go make yourself crazy with that.
It's like that's one of those.
It's like the benches,
don't go away.
Right? You just put them. Everybody just puts them away.
The bench.
Put them away. Okay. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you for coming.